This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And who do we have?
We have Lauren Groff. I got that right, didn't I?
That's correct.
These are the people that happen to stop by after you have the icing. We're talking the NTSB.
Well, after it becomes an accident.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't. But these are the people that are there figuring out what went wrong.
Now, you guys investigate every aviation accident?
Yes, actually. So, good morning, first of all. The NTSB, we invest, the mandate that we have from Congress, we investigate all civil aviation accidents, so no military, but U.S. civil aviation accidents, so everyone, and that's, accident is actually defined in regulation, so it's anything with serious serious injury or greater, or substantial damage to the aircraft or greater, and we'll investigate all of those.
Okay, so that could be anything from me screwing up a landing and folding up gear and bending propellers and not getting hurt, though, but enough damage to my airplane, you're going to ask questions.
Yeah, sometimes on those ones where it's gear and wingtips and things, they have to do a little bit of checking because you're right on the line, but that's kind of the low end. And then, of course, we're all aware of the more serious ones.
Yeah. But,
so in addition to aviation in the U.S., we also support we support foreign investigations of U.S. equipment. So if we have Boeing or Cessna or any of the U.S. manufacturers that have accidents outside the U.S., we have some responsibilities to support the countries that are doing those investigations. And, of course, in the U.S., we have a lot of resources. So,
well, is that by invitation only, or do you always show up?
Well, we don't always show up, but there is requirements for those who are familiar with the International Civil Aviation Organization. We hear about ICAO sometimes. Mm-hmm. There's some international things. There's actually agreements and requirements there about how countries work together. So they have requirements that they need to notify us when those things happen, and if they need any kind of technical support or whatever it may be, we support that. So if it's a smaller one, we probably won't travel, but we'll provide support. But certainly the bigger ones, our investigators do travel around the world.
Okay, now let's take it down a notch. I'm a general aviation guy. I've collapsed my nose wheel, smashed my propeller, maybe drug a wingtip. What kind of questions can I expect from you? Should I be concerned? Could this information lead to like an enforcement action against me?
Well, so the NTSB, we do not have any regulatory role at all in that case. So that would be the FAA if something like that were to happen. But we are there solely for safety.
Okay.
So, and when we come in, we do our investigators, they collect information about you know, the person, anything that they were doing when they were operating the aircraft. Hopefully we have a live pilot that they're talking to. In most cases they do. And they're collecting information about, from their point of view, what happened and what happened maybe even before they went flying to get that information. They get whatever they can about the aircraft, the weather, all the other things going on around that. My role, I am not a field investigator. My position is chief data scientist. So I get what happens afterwards when they collect all of that information. And a lot of folks, when they come by the booth here at the Federal Pavilion, they say, oh, I love that. I love your TV show. They're watching Air Disasters or one of these. Well, it's not our TV show, but we know what they mean. You know, they're watching one of those shows. Well, that's the exciting part.
So you're digging through data for root cause kind of thing, if there's something else going on we haven't noticed.
Well, even more so looking for trends when even after the investigations are complete. One of the things that my role, I think, what I can help with in my role in the whole thing is getting that information out to pilots so they can learn from the experience of others. Obviously, the NTSB's, their requirement, what we do is the board will issue safety recommendations when they find big issues from the investigations. They also do safety research, and you know, they'll make safety recommendations from those. But another big product we have is just sharing the information of what happened so people can come in and get that.
The website that you have on the NTSB on aircraft accidents is quite extensive. It takes time, though, because usually I've seen preliminary report in, say, 2 weeks after the accident. Then there's like an intermediate report, and the final takes about a year and a half later to finally get out.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for mentioning the website, because we've recently made some changes to that to make that information more available. But you're absolutely right. Depending on the complexity of the accident and the investigation, usually within about 10 to 15 days, they'll have a preliminary report that has details of what happened. It doesn't really get into the findings of why. It's really what happened. But then as the investigation progresses, more and more information gets added to that, and then finally a final report.
Are you involved in compiling accident statistics?
Absolutely. And that's one of the products that we develop, and we have a couple things every year. We put out sort of a summary of the last 20 years, so you can see how things are going. Fortunately, for many, many years, we continue to make improvements in aviation. Recently, we've made some updates to our website, actually just last week. We put out some things that added some kind of interactive dashboards and things, so people can see charts and maps and go in and click around and find things that are most interesting to the type of flying they do.
Okay.
Well, you know, the one thing that I noticed with the accidents and everything is that you guys are never concerned regarding the names of the individuals involved. You're more about the equipment and what happened to the equipment. What was the sequence of events? Why is it that the NTSB doesn't name the pilot on board the aircraft?
Well, interesting you mentioned that. It gets back to kind of, it's a fundamental thing within, particularly within aviation, I think, that it's been really helpful, is that the kind of mantra that everyone says for investigation is the sole purpose is improving safety and not apportioning blame.
Right.
Okay. We do not get into that. There might be a place for that for other purposes, but that's not what we do.
You don't learn from blame.
Right.
No, you never do.
Statistically speaking, running out of fuel is still one of the highest causes.
It is one of the high causes. The biggest one for general aviation in particular is just loss of control. So that's loss of control in flight is one of the ones that continues to be larger, so always looking for opportunities to improve that. Give a shout out to our friends at EAA. Just yesterday, we were in a meeting where they're looking at trying to promote angle of attack indicators.
Especially for the deadly stall spin landing.
So that's that's something I know that everybody is continue FAA and industry and everybody that's an area they want to go after. So loss of control in flight. Some kind of loss of power, whether it's fuel or mechanical, and then fortunately, controlled flight into terrain. That's going down, but that was one of the higher ones. But that's going down.
Well, that could be defined as accidentally flying into a mountain at night, or botching a landing after an engine failure, right?
Well, that won't be controlled flight into terrain, but what it could be is maybe they flew into weather unintentionally, those sort of things, or flying into weather a lot of times will end up in a controlled flight into terrain if you're not prepared.
Right. Well, we're used to looking out the window. We've been taught, look out the window, out the window.
right.
When there's nothing there, it gets kind of scary.
Right.
So,
one of the things that I've always been curious about is, the number of engine failures that are actually causing accidents. Just recently, my brother and I were talking about a rather noteworthy individual who had a PT-6 blow up on him. And I mean, this thing physically came apart, an uncontained failure. Well, on the list of accident causes, where do bad engines fit into this?
Well, bad engine, overall loss of engine power events, for whatever reason, that's usually number two on the list. So I know one of the things that's a big initiative within the NTSB is to be looking more into those, just piston engines in general, to look into those issues.
One of the other things that we've been talking about has been aircraft misfuelings that have led to accidents. Does this figure significantly into your statistics as well?
Yeah, that is one of the high ones. Either running out of gas is, you know, not, that's not exactly misfueling, but that's probably the most common, running out of fuel, still within that category. But misfueling, I know we've had issues now that for Jet A, those who fly turbine aircraft, where we've had a couple instances where DEF, which if you drive a diesel truck, you know what DEF is, and you have to put that in. If that gets into the aviation fuel, that can be a problem. Some of those things are, you know, getting the wrong fuel in the
And apparently
aircraft.
It doesn't take very much at all.
No.
The guy was saying trace amounts.
Right, right. Which, so that can be a problem.
Yeah, yeah. So you're always asking, any DEF been around here?
Yeah.
So as home builders, what could you suggest? I mean, they say those first 10, 20 hours are the most likely to have a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Got any ideas, any suggestions on preventing that?
Well, actually, we did a study at the NTSB about 10 years ago. One of the things actually that folks may not even be thinking about as much, certainly the equipment, getting somebody else to help you out, look at your plane, work with your local EAA chapter, those sorts of things, getting other eyes on it on the equipment side. But one of the things that maybe doesn't get enough attention is if you buy a home built and you're maybe prepared for the way it performs. We actually have more accidents in the first few hours of someone who purchased an existing home built than we do with somebody that's in the first few hours of a brand new aircraft.
Okay.
And that's more of a pilot being prepared for the aircraft.
Yeah, if I'm a 150 guy and all of a sudden I buy a little RV rocket.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Okay, I can see getting out of there. All right, I want to thank you for joining us. We've been speaking with Lauren Groff of the NTSB. I'm Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.